Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Wave Break Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, and today on the show, we've got Keegan Pafford from Wad Welder. We've got a great conversation, and we're chatting about influencer marketing, and we dive into the details, and Keegan is super transparent. It's a great interview, so I'm really excited to get into it. Now, before we get into that, once again, I just want to say thanks to everyone for all of the positive feedback. I've been getting a lot of nice words still from you guys about how you're enjoying the show, which is awesome. So if you are enjoying the show, head over to iTunes, leave a review. I'll really appreciate it. And if you screenshot it and email it to podcast@wavebreak.co, I will send you some of my secret personal email marketing assets. Now, I have a question for you. Is your email marketing underperforming? Maybe you don't have time or you don't know what to do, or maybe it's a combination of the two. And I want to tell you this. If you run a seven-figure Shopify store, you're leaving hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table. And I'm not just saying that. Like, you're leaving at least $120,000 on the table. Probably a lot more, double, triple, quadruple that, depending on the size of your store. So if your email marketing is underperforming, head over to wavebreak.co. You can learn more there and take the next step. Now, without further ado, let's get into this episode. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Keegan.
Thanks, Dylan. Happy to be here.
To get started, can you just give the listeners an idea of what Wad Welder is and what you guys do over there?
Yeah, so Wad Welder is primarily a skincare company operating in the fitness and wellness space. Our first line of products was dedicated towards the hand care of weightlifters, in particular CrossFit athletes. Since 2013, when we first launched that hand care line, we've grown to encompass a lot of other markets, specifically where hand care is necessary, such as gymnastics, Olympic weightlifting, and other things of that nature, including our product lines that we've begun to expand into more of athlete essentials. But that's where Wad Welder got started, and it's been a fun ride from there.
Nice. When did you start the company?
2000 inception, and when we really got serious about the Wad Welder product line was the end of 2012. I think it was October of 2012, and we ended up launching the beginning of that next year. I believe I'm either getting 12 and 13 confused or 13 and 14. I think, yeah, 12 and 13. Let's go with that. So, getting started was really a result of my own injuries. I was doing pull-ups and ended up tearing a callus off of, I think it was both of my hands, and couldn't find anything in the market that was really geared towards my needs. So together with a couple other people, we started to talk about this, an all-natural product that would heal calluses and rip hands.
So what was your background? Did you have any experience in the space leading up to this or just pull-ups?
Absolutely no background. I've always been involved in fitness and love sports. I went to school. I was a kinesiology major. So that was, I suppose, I had a decent background in human movement, but absolutely no background in the cosmetic industry, or, you know, I didn't take too many business classes in college either. So everything was very new, aside from knowing that I was looking at bloody hands and we felt like we needed to fix those.
Yeah, I like it. And I always like to hear this. Like, do you remember what your sales numbers were that first year?
Yes. This is always, if I'm ever feeling down, I think I think about, you know, I like to think about when we started, because it was very modest. I mean, we weren't backed financially by anybody, like no one, you know, no capital from outside investors or anything like that. So bootstrapped from the beginning. I'll never forget our first sale. I thought it was a robot because we really didn't have a huge marketing budget either. And when the first sale came through, our Shopify store to some guy in Illinois. I was shocked. Couldn't believe it. And ended up, so that was in January, and it was 2014, and throughout 2014, we ended up doing $84,000 in sales.
Nice. That's not bad for your first year, I'd say.
No, not bad. It was something that I was not expecting, and I think really cemented the idea that this was a product that was necessary and would potentially do well in that market.
Yeah, so fast forwarding to now, like how much sales are you at now?
This past year, we're looking at, and it's always growing, we did just over 350,000 in sales last year.
Nice. And you mentioned you didn't have a lot of money in the beginning. So like how has your marketing changed as you've grown, as you've been able to get more budget and grow the business?
Yeah, our marketing's changed a lot. It was very guerrilla at first, largely on the Instagram platform, since that platform is free. So, you know, reaching out to customers and liking photos and interacting with people that would be customers of our brand was super easy. Now we have a marketing team that we work with to handle marketing strategies that I just didn't even know existed back then, whether it be some of our SEO or even just our Google Shopping campaigns or other search engine campaigns, AdWords, you know, everything, all the big key buzzwords that e-commerce companies face today. We are able to dabble in all those now, which is nice.
Yeah, that is cool. Is there any channel that sticks out as like this is like key to our business, or is it more just kind of like in general, like everything adds up?
Yeah, I think it's nice being what's that saying, a three-headed monster, but I guess in this instance it would be whatever, like a seven or eight-headed monster, just in terms of all the different marketing platforms. But yeah, I think we're still really relevant on Instagram because we really take a lot of pride in building not only a company but a brand that interacts with its customers on a regular basis. So we really put a lot of effort and thought into the way that we present ourselves on Instagram and make sure that we're reaching our full potential in terms of getting in front of the right customers on that platform.
Yeah. And so you started this business a few years ago, and back then it was a lot easier to grow on Instagram. Are you finding it harder now with the new algorithm and the new updates to grow?
Yes. I don't know if you experienced the same thing, but it's very tough, especially getting in front of new customers. You know, if you posted a picture 5 years ago, and it even picked up a little bit of traction, it would then be presented in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of more people. But totally different now, and we've certainly had to change our strategy basically every year with every update that Instagram or Facebook does to try and stay on top of just what they're doing.
Yeah, and how has that strategy changed? Like, what's your strategy now for the current algorithm and how things currently are?
Yeah, our strategy is now focused, not that it hadn't always had this involvement, but we're really trying to hone in on influencers and people with a larger following, specifically in our niche. So it's just a very targeted campaign. I think, you know, you can kind of get caught up in thinking that maybe everybody could use a product, especially where ours is skincare, so you could look at it kind of broad. But for us, really focusing on our key market, which for right now is CrossFit, and working with influencers and people that do get a lot of not only organic reach, but even have, you know, the ability to market with other influencers. That's what we're focusing on.
That's cool. I like that. So how do you find these influencers? Like what, like how do you go about finding these people?
I just combing through Instagram, I would say, the nice part about CrossFit in particular is it's a very close-knit community. So if you're, it almost feels like everybody follows each other. So you can kind of flow through people on Instagram relatively easy. It's when we start to reach outside that market that we really just try and vet out. It takes a little bit longer to vet out the right people. And for that, we are looking for engagement. And, you could have somebody with 100,000 followers, but if they only get 500 likes per photo, that's really not the engagement we're looking for. We'd rather work with somebody that has, say, 5,000 followers and, 1,500 to 2,000 of them are seeing a video or interacting with their posts. It's just a much, much better engagement rate. And those types of posts for us seem to do a lot better.
When you talk about engagement, you mentioned there's people with 5,000 followers with great engagement. There's people with 100,000 with terrible engagement. Is there like a benchmark or some sort of minimum or just like something, some sort of like follower to engagement ratio or something that you look for?
Yeah. In terms of consistently working with us, we try and look for influencers with around the 10,000 and up mark, just because, like I said, as long as the engagement's there, the ability to get in front of a consistently new crowd of people is also there. Working with somebody who's only has a couple hundred followers, you're pretty much going to run through their follower list fairly quickly. But with that being said, and this is how we've been from the beginning, we totally appreciate everybody on Instagram because now everybody is an influencer. So even the person with, 5 followers, 20 followers, whatever, if they're posting about our product and we can communicate to them in any way, maybe even throughout the selling process, that we really appreciate their commitment to our brand and offering incentives for them to post, that goes a long way as well. You could have, you could even just have 2,000 people with 5 followers that do that, as opposed to potentially paying an influencer with 100,000 followers to, for one photo. So,
okay, cool. So you find someone with good engagement. Now, how do you get in touch with them? Do you send them a DM? Do you send them an email? How do you contact them?
Yeah, we slide into those DMs. I think it changes for everybody. Some people have business managers or, account managers or emails that they like you to reach out to. Some are totally comfortable with a DM or just engaging with them through posts, commenting and seeing, seeing what, if we can relate to something and just trying to establish that initial conversation.
Nice. So how's your Instagram influencer program work? Do you send free products? Do you pay people? Do you pay them a monthly salary? Do you pay them per photo? How's that work?
Yeah, we've kind of done it all. I think we're not particular one way or the other. I think we're trying to shift into more of an ambassador type. We are trying to shift into more of an ambassador type relationship where we can incentivize a post by offering commission on any sort of sale that they drive to the site. So that's something that we've done in the past with other e-commerce retailers as a form of advertisement. But we're working with that on the influencer side of things, and we'll see how that goes. That's we've had athletes in the past that we've paid to post and still work with now, but we'll see how this ambassador program goes. It's very new. This is all, you guys are on the front lines with us for this.
Nice. The next level stuff we're getting into.
Yes.
Speaking of like the pro people, so like what do you consider? So like these are professional athletes, CrossFitters, I guess, right?
Yeah, we've worked largely CrossFitters, yeah.
And what does their Instagram following look like? Like, how many people are following them?
I think the highest following, largest following for an athlete that we sponsor is 50. I think she's around 50,000.
So with her, you say you sponsor her. So is that like you pay her monthly, or she has this many posts she has to hit, or how does that work?
So when we started our athlete program, I think it might have been year one of business, and I certainly had no background in managing any sort of, you know, athlete program. So that was, we all kind of learned together, and CrossFit itself was still fairly new. I mean, it had been around for a couple of years, but it really, I think we entered at the right time when it really started to pick up speed and gain some traction. So we all kind of grew together. It wasn't so much of a, you know, sign this packet of paper that says you have to post, you know, two times a week or once every other week, and this is what we expect, and yada, yada, yada. We kind of just tried to help each other out as much as possible and grow each other's brand on Instagram. And that's something that we definitely want for any sort of influencer that we work with as well. We want it to be mutually beneficial, because this is also what, you know, these professional athletes or really any influencer does for a living as well. So, it kind of has to be worth everybody's time.
Yeah, I like that. It's not just like you guys getting the sale. You're also helping out the people. And I think that produces the best relationships where these people are going to want to, like, even post about you for free and just tell everyone about you. And you're an awesome company and doing things like that as well.
Yeah, I think just, you know, like you said, like, caring about people goes a long way. I mean, we've never, even just asking people to, you know, write a review about our product sometime was a struggle at first, because we never wanted to feel like we were needy, or sometimes you don't want to step on people's toes. So when you can, you know, have that mindset and put the right pieces in place to make it beneficial for everybody, I think the fear of asking for too much kind of goes away, and you just realize that it's a symbiotic relationship as opposed to one-sided.
Yeah, I like that. Now, speaking of the content itself, do you find that videos or pictures or stories work better than one another, or is it all kind of random?
Well, video is king, and I wish, we're working on doing a little bit more of that. I think it's been proven in a lot of studies that's the way the society is going. People want to see a video as opposed to looking at a picture. Not saying that pictures are out, but video is definitely in, and that's something that we look forward to testing out for ourselves as well. I think we're going to try and come out with a lot more video content, and see, test those engagement rates with comparable just photography.
Cool. And now this is my last Instagram question, I promise. Do you structure like your influencer campaigns in a certain way? Like, is there kind of like a method to the madness of reaching out to these people? Like, we want to do X per month, or is it just kind of go with the flow sort of?
That's another good question. With and how it's been for a little while with our influencers and how we reach out, we've tried to reach out to about 25 a quarter, and that's, you know, that's, I don't think that was just made up. I believe I had read about that somewhere, but we kind of structured it whereas we would reach out to a couple different types of influencers, people that we felt like we could definitely work with, probably, you know, based on their following, people that were mid-range, you know, might say yes, might say no, and then a couple people that would really propel the brand if we were able to work with at least one of them, expecting, you know, that the rest would probably turn us down. And it is a good strategy. Sometimes I think there's not enough incentive there. And you know, as a brand, you could end up paying more for those posts than, you know, as them with a group of ambassadors. But I feel like that's different for every brand too. And that depends on how much is in your marketing budget and what you're willing to spend.
Yeah. And then the other side of it too is like, how engaged is your audience with Instagram and what type of buyers are they? Like, you can get so specific, and it really does depend, I think, from brand to brand a lot.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, like we said, we have noticed that our market is very active, but I mean, like you said, for instance, another brand that we have here, the market is non-existent on Instagram. And those customers really aren't on there a lot. So that this isn't a strategy that we implement for marketing for that particular company.
Yeah, like fitness is huge on Instagram. What's the other company that doesn't have such a big Instagram audience?
It's a construction-based hand care company, or like fishermen and things of that nature. So is there certainly a market? Yes. But not as, you know, we haven't found that they're as engaging. You know, the median age of that brand's customers is a lot older. So it's just, they're just really not as active.
Right. And yeah, that's so funny you say that, because it's, I mean, they are totally different people. It's the same product. It doesn't even, like, even your product is the same, but the customer is different, and it's still, it's a different strategy. And I think that's something important too. So if you're thinking about trying to do some Instagram influencer marketing, honestly, it might not work for you because your customers might not be there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that could be a trial and error thing. You know, you could analyze the market and really, I would, you know, if you wanted to, before you just dug in, or took the leap, if somebody wanted to investigate, you certainly could. And I would look at what your competitors are doing. But yeah, I totally, you know, like I said, and I agree with you, it's, you gotta, your brand might not have a social media following, so you gotta get in front of them somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. And so, moving on from the Instagram stuff, you kind of touched on this a little bit on the influencer side of things, but what's next for Wadwelder and how are you going to get there?
Yeah. Next is, we seem to, you know, 2017 was another big growth year for us. And not that every year hasn't been, but it was definitely bigger than most. So trying to implement some systems that will propel our growth even further. You know, I think every company on their path to success, you end up hitting a ceiling or a plateau. And to push through that, you either need to hire or, like I said, put systems in place that it's going to make your day-to-day easier. So right now, in-house, we're looking at putting better systems in place when it comes to shipping orders and our back-end processes, and getting some people also on the front end of the business, in particular for sales, and grow our sales team and go from there.
That's awesome. I love it, man. As we wrap up here, do you have any like closing thoughts or words of advice? Just, I mean, it could be anything just to end on.
I think, just to keep going. I mean, I people that are in any sort of entrepreneurial space and whatever anybody's doing, it's just important to keep going. And, if you have a vision, just follow that vision, and see it through.
Love it. Where can we go to learn more about you and your company?
Yeah, you can find out anything about Wadwelder on wadwelder.com. So that's just www.wadwelder.com. You can, our email's on there, info@wadwelder.com. And you can, anybody can read about us there. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Keegan Pafford. If anybody felt like they needed to or wanted to reach out to me, I'm fairly open about these sorts of things, as you can tell. I don't like to give everything away, but I think that as entrepreneurs, it's very important to share information, and I'm not the type of person that, unless it's, you know, super, super top secret, I'm definitely willing to share and also listen to any sort of advice or information as well. So, but yeah, I appreciate you having me on here, Dylan. It's been fun.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this knowledge and being open and honest about everything. I really appreciate that. You were a great guest. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. No problem.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got something valuable out of it. Subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And if you want to work with me, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.